Medicaid expansion may not be dead in Montana. Good evening, I'm Connor Ballantyne.
And I'm Madeline Beck, and that's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition.
We'll also have the latest on spring snowpack and the outlook for flooding. And on Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program, News Director Sally Mock talks with Lee newspaper Capital reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison about the role of super PACs in the primary races and the latest TV campaign ads. Governor Steve Bullock's staff has been discussing Medicaid expansion options with some legislators and healthcare and business representatives. The Democratic governor said today the discussions aren't driven by him, but by lawmakers who heard from their community about the importance of the expansion. Lee Newspapers of Montana reports Republican Senator Ed Buttrey of Great Falls is part of the group. He says the goal is to find a way to provide cheaper costs, better medical service, and a healthier population. Buttrey and others in the coalition say they want to come up with a plan to be enacted by the 2015 legislature or earlier if lawmakers meet in special session. The Republican-led legislature in 2013 rejected a plan that would have expanded Medicaid to cover about 70,000 more low-income residents.
And in other news from around the state, a judge has ordered federal wildlife officials to come up with a schedule to complete a long-delayed recovery plan for imperiled Canada lynx. The snow-loving wildcats were listed as a threatened species by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in 2000. The agency has repeatedly missed its own deadlines to come up with a roadmap for recovery, drawing a lawsuit last year from environmental groups in Montana. In an order yesterday, U.S. District Judge Donald Malloy gave federal officials 30 days to propose a schedule for completing the recovery plan. Lynx are rarely seen across a 14-state region that includes portions of the Northeast, the Rocky Mountains, the Great Lakes, and the Cascade Range of Washington and Oregon. It's unknown how many survive in the U.S.
A court settlement gives Montana environmental regulators a little more than a year to eliminate its backlog of outdated wastewater discharge permits. The settlement approved Monday by Gallatin County District Judge Holly Brown calls on the Department of Environmental Quality to inspect and issue new permits to more than 40 facilities, including refineries and power plants. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reports some of the discharge permits expired more than a decade ago. DEQ spokesman Chris Sager says budget cuts contributed to the backlog, but the agency had taken steps to reduce it prior to the 2013 lawsuit. The Cottonwood Environmental Law Center and Montana River Action sued after the DEQ was slow to respond to a 2008 letter from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency about the outdated permits.
National Weather Service hydrologist Ray Nicholas says snowpack throughout much of our listening area is way above normal, and that may lead to some flooding when temperatures rise and snowmelt reaches full stride. For example, snowpack in the Bitterroot Mountains stands at 190% of average, the most in Montana. The higher elevations are still holding on to lots of that snow, but Nicholas says the mid-elevations are starting to melt out, which is encouraging news. Stream flows are also generally above average.
You know, our stream flows are above average right now because anytime we get into a little bit of the snow melt, there's just so much water there available that the stream flows go above the normals for this time of year. And just as an example of that, if we take a look just down like at the Clark Fork River here as it comes into Missoula, latest flow is 181% of the normal for this time of year.
2011 presented some significant flooding in many areas. Nicholas says the Blackfoot River Basin isn't showing quite as much snowpack now as during this time in 2011.
But still quite a bit above the average with our snowpack. So there's going to be a lot of water flowing down the Blackfoot River. And then that'll combine with all that water we're seeing up on the upper Clark Fork. And then that's going to mean, you know, flood conditions here in Missoula. How high the river gets here in Missoula, whether it's as, you know, significant as we were in 2011 or not, will depend on what kind of rain we get when we get into that, you know, snowmelt swollen period of time.
Both the Missoula and Clark Fork rivers are expected to eventually reach flood levels, but the severity simply depends on how much more precipitation we received. Snowpack in Glacier National Park is quite high, but not as high as in 2011.
So we are forecasting for the Flathead River as it comes into Columbia Falls to at least reach the flood stage there. It's not real difficult to reach the flood level there. How high it gets above that is going to be dependent on those factors of more spring rain combining with it.
Lincoln County snowpack is also not as high as it was at this time in 2011.
There is pretty good snow in the Cabinet Mountains where the Poor Man's Creek snowtell site is, and we should see high flows coming down some of those smaller creeks that come into Libby, but it doesn't look as high and as significant as it was in 2011. And then the same in the Yak River drainage where it's just above the average.
Nicholas says this weekend's cool temperatures and additional precipitation will likely give way to warmer temperatures next week, maybe a tad above normal later in the week. That will initiate some snowmelt, but he doesn't expect any significant flooding as a result.
The Flathead County Sheriff says a 60-year-old whitefish man died after he apparently lost control of his Corvette and crashed into a tree. Sheriff Chuck Curry says the crash was discovered shortly before 11 p.m. last night. The driver, Ronnie Taylor, died of blunt force trauma before he could be taken to a hospital. Curry says speed is believed to be a factor in the crash and that Taylor was wearing a seatbelt. The Montana Highway Patrol is investigating.
Attorneys for a Montana prisoner serving a 100-year murder sentence are disputing a letter opposing his release by the former governor who prosecuted him. Former Montana Attorney General and Governor Mark Roszko wrote to the state's parole board that there has been no change in Barry Beach's circumstances that would justify a new investigation since he was denied clemency in 2007. Beach has applied for clemency after serving 30 years in prison for the 1979 beating death of 17-year-old Kim Knees. The Great Falls Tribune reports Beach attorney Terrace Toves wrote an answer to Roszko on May 2nd. Toves says Roszko failed to mention a district judge found enough evidence to release Beach in 2011 while awaiting a new trial. That order was reversed by the state Supreme Court.
A Blackfeet judge has issued an arrest warrant for a state senator and tribal leader for not paying his fine for a drunken and reckless driving conviction. Senator Shannon Augier says the May 2nd warrant issued by Judge Marceline Laststar is politically motivated. Augier says in a letter Tuesday to Laststar, he paid the $200 fine in December, but was submitting another $400 to remove his name from the warrant list. Tribal attorney Don Runningwolf says Augier must appear in court for an arraignment. She says there is no record he complied with an October order to buy $200 worth of toys for a Christmas drive. Augier said yesterday the warrant is driven by an ongoing political dispute among tribal council members that has repeatedly stymied government operations.
Great Falls police say a burglary suspect that was holed up in a trailer after firing shots at officers has been arrested. Sergeant Brian Slavik says police responded to a report of a burglary today and a suspect fled on foot. Cascade County Sheriff's deputies reported about 5 minutes later that shots had been fired. The Great Falls Tribune reports police tracked the suspect to a trailer. Police say the man is believed to be armed. So far, no injuries have been reported.
Prosecutors in Billings say a man and his girlfriend used a lighter to burn his 6-year-old daughter. Blaine K. Starden Jr. and Amber Irene Reynolds are charged with felony assault on a minor and an alternative charge of felony attempt to commit obstructing justice. The Billings Gazette reports the girl's mother told police she found bruising and multiple burn marks after picking up her daughter from the 43-year-old Starden's home on February 14th. Hospital officials said the bruising appeared to be from someone holding her down and the burns appeared to be from a lighter. The 30-year-old Reynolds told police the neck bruising was from a balloon and the burns may have been from an open oven door. Justice Court Judge Pedro Hernandez set their bonds at $25,000 yesterday.
A man convicted of arson is going to prison after his wife convinced a Flathead County judge he should receive a harsher penalty than called for in a plea agreement. The Daily Interlake reports that District Judge David Ortley sentenced 40-year-old Daniel English yesterday to 5 years in Montana State Prison and 10 years of probation. A plea agreement had recommended 5 years with the State Department of Corrections instead of the state prison, followed by 5 years of probation. English was convicted of arson after pouring gas in his trailer home and lighting it on fire last year. His wife, Mindy English, says her husband shows no remorse. She says she didn't think it was fair for him to not receive prison time after burning down a home.
Nearly all but the most expensive seats for Paul McCartney's summer concert in Missoula were snatched up when they went on sale at 10 o'clock this morning. Adams Center Executive Director Brad Murphy says only several hundred of tickets costing $250 plus service fees were left by early afternoon. Over 25,000 tickets were sold today. Murphy says about 125 people chose to stand in line at the UM's Adams Center this morning.
It was a great crowd. The first person in line was a 16-year-old Hellgate High School student, which was awesome.
Online ticket sales for major local concerts proved to be problematic in years past, but according to Murphy, not today.
I think you learn a lot over the years, and you learn how to manage these large on-sales. Our ticketing company was totally dialed into this on-sale today, and we had extra servers on board, so just to make sure, and we had no issues whatsoever. Very smooth sale.
Murphy urges caution to anyone wanting to buy Paul McCartney tickets from secondhand vendors.
So if you do want to buy a ticket from somebody that's not with GrizzTix, call our box office, 243-4051, see if it's a legit ticket. Our people will help you out. Each has a barcode, and that can only go through our scanners. So, you know, if somebody could go out and make copies, and they could sell 11, you know, copies of that same ticket, whatever ticket is scanned through first is the only one that gets in. So that's why we have really been trying all week to, you know, on the radio and in the newspaper and on TV, that buyer beware. Don't buy from the secondary markets if you don't have to.
McCartney plays Missoula on August 5th.
A Great Falls legislator is being sued by two of his constituents who say he should give up his legislative seat because he moved to Florida. Lee Newspapers of Montana reports Republican Representative Jesse O'Hara has been living in a retirement community in Cypress Hills, Florida, the past several months. But O'Hara says he has maintained an apartment in Great Falls and won't be moving permanently until the end of the year. The 70-year-old lawmaker is not running for re-election. Plaintiffs Nancy Martin and Brad Oppheim sued after Martin said she tried to contact her representative only to discover he was living out of the state. O'Hara says he believes the lawsuit is in retaliation for his recent criticism of Republican Party leaders whom he called political extremists.
Welcome to Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program featuring Lee Newspaper's Capitol reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison, and Montana Public Radio News Director Sally Mock.
Well, Chuck, a couple of super PACs are making news this week in the Republican House primary, and one of them is called the Big Sky Freedom Fund. And this is a PAC that is supporting the candidacy of Corey Stapleton.
It's a PAC based in Billings. It's in the offices, the same office suite as 47 North, a Republican political consulting firm that's made up of some employees of former Congressman Denny Rehberg. And they're spending money on ads supporting Corey Stapleton and a poll. I think it was about $80,000 altogether, which is a major, major buy. And, of course, we don't know where the money's coming from. It's a five-way Republican primary and four serious candidates. And, you know, $80,000 can go a long way in a race like that. And it's certainly a coup for Stapleton to get these ads. But, of course, he cannot know about them. He cannot coordinate with them. That's a violation of the law. So, and I have not seen any of these ads yet. So I suspect we'll see him starting this weekend. That's a development that certainly will help Corey Stapleton in the race.
Well, the other candidate in that primary who is benefiting from a super PAC is Ryan Zinke. And this PAC is called Special Operations for America. And their connection with Zinke has prompted an election complaint based on what you were just talking about, Chuck, which is whether or not they are coordinating with the candidate, which would be illegal.
Yes, a couple of Washington-based groups have filed a complaint with the FEC, Federal Election Commission, and they haven't ruled on it yet. I don't know whether they will by the time the primary is concluded. But the other tie to Zinke is he started the PAC in 2012 with some other people as a super PAC to help the candidacy of Mitt Romney for president. Lots of ties. It was originally in Whitefish, where Zinke is from. Now it's moved to a town in New York. But that FEC decision could be very interesting. But Federal Election Commission consists of three Republican appointees and three Democratic appointees. And so any controversies there usually end in a 3-3 tie. But we'll see what happens.
And Chuck, another candidate in that Republican House race, Matt Rosendale, has a new TV ad. And let's take a listen to that.
Here's your big government special.
Hey, I didn't order that.
Nobody orders the garbage coming out of Washington, but it's what they keep serving. I'm Matt Rosendale, a rancher, businessman, and limited government conservative. Washington spending and regulations cripple our economy. They hold Montana back from creating jobs. I'll protect our freedom and stop the intrusion of government.
Can I get that instead?
You bet. I'm Matt Rosendale, and I approve this message.
And Chuck, the visual in this ad has Mr. Rosendale and an unidentified woman sitting at a counter in a diner, and she's being served a plate full of really ugly, ugly-looking food.
Yes, and for my money, Matt Rosendale gets the public radio award in the House primary so far for having the most interesting ads.
I agree.
people may remember his first ad, which showed him shooting down a drone. And this one is, it has humor, and he gets his message across with humor. And I guess you have to see the ad, really, but this slop is just getting poured on this lady's plate. And she, I didn't order this. And he's just sitting there, and I think it's a very effective ad.
Certainly his ads get people talking, which is what you want your ads to do. I mean, people are talking about Matt Rosendale, gets his name out there and into the conversation.
I think that's exactly what they do, and I think that's an asset in a five-way primary, and some of the other ads maybe, you know, talking about Obamacare or the federal budget. He makes his points in a humorous way, makes serious points in a humorous way, and I think they're effective ads.
Well, Mike, this restaurant theme also plays out in a new ad in the Senate race, and this one is from Steve Daines.
I've had diabetes since I've been about 13 years old. When Obamacare kicked in, our plan didn't qualify. We lost our insurance. I'm back trying to pay for my insulin again. I've worked hard all my life, and it just seems like the working person isn't getting ahead again. Glad that Steve Daines is against Obamacare. We need more people like Steve Daines that will stand up and help the working class.
I'm Steve Daines, and I approve this message.
And Mike, this has a woman in a cafe looking quite upset about losing her insurance.
Yeah, the woman is in Livingston, according to the ad. And after I watched this ad, I guess I had a whole host of questions about just what's really going on here. Because, you know, it's possible, but I find it hard to believe that under the new law, the Affordable Care Act, that someone who is working and doesn't have a lot of money couldn't get a policy to cover their insulin. Perhaps there's some things in here that we don't know about that are affecting this. But when I saw that ad, the first thing I thought was, I want to know more about just what happened to this woman and whether she indeed couldn't get insurance, what her insurance was before. I think there's a lot of unanswered questions for anyone who wants to scrutinize that commercial.
And there are some people who, since that ad has aired, have come out and said, I'm diabetic and I'm not having a problem getting my insulin covered.
Yeah, there's a letter in the Billings Gazette this morning from someone who said just that I'm a diabetic and I know about what's going on with insurance, and what is being presented here does not square with my first-hand experience. And so, once again, I'd just like to know a little bit more about what's going on here.
Well, criticism of Obamacare isn't just coming from the Republicans. Democratic Senate candidate John Walsh also has a new ad out.
I've spent my life protecting and defending Montana. There's no graver threat than the exploding national debt. I'm brand new to the Senate, but I've already sponsored a balanced budget amendment to put an end to waste, fraud, and abuse. Working to eliminate Pentagon programs we don't need, cutting skyrocketing costs in Obamacare, and fighting tax loopholes that send our jobs to China. I'm John Walsh, and I approve this message because defending our country must include repairing our fiscal house here at home.
Mike, Mr. Walsh is talking about bringing down the high cost of Obamacare, and this is really interesting since he does not, like Mr. Daines does, support repealing it.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. I mean, what you see here is Senator Walsh, the Democrat in this race, or one of three Democrats in this race, almost kind of staking out Republican territory here, saying, I want to cut the deficit and criticizing Obamacare. And what he's referring to, and you can't really tell. The only reason I know is because I asked the campaign, what are you talking about in terms of Obamacare? And he said that he's referring to his support of a bill or a law that I don't believe has been introduced yet that would allow the federal government to negotiate prescription drug prices directly for Medicare. And this is something that, you know, Democrats have long said should be in the law and never was. And so that's what he's talking about.
Well, we have one more new ad to play that is sticking with the Obamacare theme. And once again, this is from the Daines campaign.
Can Montanans trust John Walsh or John Bollinger to fight for us in the Senate? While working-class families struggle to get ahead, Walsh and Bollinger support Obamacare, increasing costs, cutting Medicare, making government more intrusive. Walsh and Bollinger are with Obama, not Montana. Steve Daines is standing up to Barack Obama and fighting to repeal and replace Obamacare.
I'm Steve Daines, and I approve this message because Montana comes first.
I heard Obama said 4 or 5 times in that little 30-second ad, Mike.
Boy, what a surprise. this is a theme that we saw 2 years ago in campaigns on the behalf of Republican candidates for Congress, and you hear it even more now, I think, trying to link the Democrat with Obama, because Obama he's unpopular nationally. His approval ratings are low, and they're probably even lower in Montana. So it's a pretty obvious strategy of Republican candidates to link Democrats to Obama, and he's talking about Obamacare and making these allegations that it's driving up costs and cutting Medicare. I mean, we could talk all day about this thing and say how these aren't totally accurate, but I think that in an ad, that's not going to matter. What really matters is that they're going to keep saying Obama, Obamacare, Obama bad, Obamacare bad. He's going to drill it into the consciousness of the public, of the voting public.
The other interesting thing about this ad is that they do mention John Bollinger, which means they're taking his candidacy seriously, they meaning Republicans.
Yeah, that was interesting to me that they mentioned both Senator Walsh and John Bollinger. They didn't mention Dirk Adams, the third Democratic candidate, because he's not really well known. Maybe they think Bollinger has a fighting chance to win the primary. I don't know. But that was a little interesting snippet in that ad.
And Chuck, we've been talking about ads that are on the air, but there's ads that are not on the air that are kind of surprising me, and especially that we're not seeing an ad yet, anyway, from the Democratic House candidate, John Lewis. Does that, do you think, Chuck, say something about how seriously he takes his primary competition, John Driscoll?
Or does it say something about him wanting to stockpile money for the general election against the Republican winner? I don't know. Of course, in 2008, the Democratic establishment favorite was Jim Hunt, and he didn't do any media advertising that I'm aware of. And John Driscoll, who spent nothing, raised nothing, and spent nothing, beat him in the primary. And here we got John Driscoll again, same strategy, raising no money, spending no money. But he's a person that's been on the ballot, I don't know, 8 or 10 times. I'm surprised Lewis isn't spending some money, but maybe they're saving it till closer to the election, or maybe they're not. I don't know. They did get an endorsement this week from Pat Williams, who said it was the first time he'd endorsed a primary candidate in 20 years or something like that since he left the Congress. But yeah, it is puzzling because Driscoll he's probably better known as a ballot name than John Lewis, just like Bob Kelleher was when Bob Kelleher won the Republican Senate nomination in 2008.
And, of course, they're both John, so people have got to distinguish them somehow anyway. Well, I'm sure, guys, we're going to have a flurry of new ads to talk about next week, and it's going to be a rainy weekend, but a rainy weekend is better than no weekend. So have a good one, you guys. Talk to you then.
All right.
Thanks, Sally.
You've been listening to Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program featuring Lee Newspaper's reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison, and Montana Public Radio News Director Sally Mauch. We hope you'll join us next week for another discussion of the week's political news.
Speaking of that rainy weekend, here's this weekend's forecast. West of the Divide tonight should be mostly cloudy, with a chance of rain showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms, with lows in the upper 20s to mid-30s. Tomorrow, rain showers are likely, with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Expect highs in the upper 40s to mid-50s. On Sunday, it calls for mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain and a chance of snow in the morning. High should be in the 50s. In central Montana tonight, it should be cloudy with scattered rain showers, and low should be 30 to 40 degrees. Wind gusts could reach up to 55 miles per hour. Tomorrow, look for cloudy skies with rain and snow showers. High should be 40 to 50 degrees. And on Sunday, it calls for mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of snow early in the morning as well. High should be 45 to 50 degrees. In southwest Montana tonight, look for scattered rain showers in the valleys and snow showers in the mountains with lows 30 to 35 degrees. Tomorrow should be mostly cloudy. Expect rain and snow showers and highs in the 40s. And on Sunday, it calls for mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain and snow and highs 40 to 50 degrees. And now for the editorial comments of Sarah Howell.
This Sunday is Mother's Day. It's one short day during which to celebrate the unconditional love, the long hours, and the hard decisions of motherhood. Mamas are tasked with raising kids and running households, and also often hold jobs outside the home, care for elders, participate as community members, and much more. It's nice that we can carve out one Sunday a year to recognize and celebrate this work. But for many moms, especially low-income moms, there's a different message this year. This Mother's Day, forget the flowers. Let's pass Medicaid expansion. Studies have shown that women are particularly vulnerable to high health care costs and unmet health needs. A study done in 2009, drawing from the Commonwealth Fund Biennial Health Insurance Survey, found that although women are no more likely than men to be uninsured, they are more likely to forego needed care because of cost, have trouble paying medical bills, accrue medical debt, or all of the above. Too often, problems with medical bills and medical debt force women to make difficult trade-offs between health care, savings, credit card debt, mortgages, and basic necessities. Back in 2007, the study showed that a full 70% of women were either uninsured or underinsured, had medical bill or medical debt problems, or experienced a cost-related problem accessing care. Since then, we've thankfully made a lot of progress through the passage and implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Thanks to the ACA, women have seen the following changes. Being a woman can no longer be considered a pre-existing condition, and insurance companies can no longer charge more for women who have been pregnant or been survivors of domestic violence. Women will now receive preventative care, including annual exams and vaccinations, with no copays. And kids can stay on their parents' insurance plans until they're 26 years old. All these changes and more are helping to ease the burden of tough decisions and having to juggle household costs and health care costs. But for low-income women, access to affordable coverage remains a big problem in states that haven't expanded Medicaid, and Montana is still on that list. Medicaid expansion is our chance to be sure that low-income Montanans have access to quality, affordable health care when they need it, without having to worry about accruing piles of debt. Medicaid expansion would allow us to expand coverage to 70,000 Montanans, including working mothers, farmers and ranchers, veterans, home health care workers, and more. For many working moms, this may mean getting health coverage for the first time. Consider Rachel's story. Rachel has two kids and has worked multiple jobs for years. She suffers from a chronic condition and needs access to health care. Unfortunately, she currently makes between $80 and $100 a month over the limit for Medicaid. This puts her in a terrible position. She either has to cut back her hours, make less money, and go without paying her utilities, buying food, or putting gas in the car, or she has to go without access to health care. Like many moms all over the world, Rachel has consistently sacrificed her health to make sure her family is taken care of. This is a choice she shouldn't have to make. If Montana expands Medicaid, it's a choice she won't have to make any longer. This weekend, as you're taking mom to brunch or enjoying the sunshine at the farmer's market, Watch out for our volunteers with clipboards gathering signatures for the Healthy Montana Initiative to expand Medicaid. Add your name to the list of thousands and thousands of Montanans who believe that all mamas should have access to health care. I'm Sarah Howell with Montana Women Vote. Thanks for listening, and happy Mother's Day.
Sarah Howell is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition, and the views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org. I'm Madeline Beck.
And I'm Connor Ballantyne. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.